Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. Blessed are you, O Lord. How can a young man keep his way pure? With my whole heart I seek you. I have stored up your word in my heart. Blessed are you, O Lord. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight. I will meditate on your precepts. I will delight in your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord. The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You all know about the fight. It's a common human experience, this fight that is going on. And it's particularly true, or maybe particularly easily noticed, in people who are morally or spiritually minded. In other words, they care about what's good and what's bad, or they care about spirituality in general. But this fight is actually there in everyone. There is a battle going on, and it's happening inside of you. This is one of those somewhat rare places where we see this in other religions as well. Different religions describe it differently, but they're all referring to this same fight that's going on. And this is a fight between you and yourself. There are two people in you warring against each other, the good person and the bad person. And the way that most religions take this, then, is that they say that your goal in life, at least religiously speaking, is to make sure that the good person wins. And, again, in most other religions, your salvation, whatever that happens to look like for those particular religions, is nearly always determined by how well you do in that fight. If you successfully manage to defeat the bad person in you and the good person wins, well, that means you're saved. Whereas if you continually give in to the bad person and allow the good person to lose, well, that means you're probably not saved. As Christians, we also have experienced this fight. We know this same truth. Like I said, this is a common human experience. But we also know more. Paul talks about it this way. Inside of us, we have both the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is the sinful person that's inside of us. We use a lot of words to describe this person. We call it the flesh, is how Paul usually talks about it. Recognize it's not talking about our actual physical flesh. It's talking more about the sinful desires that come from us. We also talk about it as our original sinful nature, or our old Adam. But you all know what this is. This is that part of you that rears its ugly head to try and get you to do something ugly. It's that part of you that tempts you to do the thing that you really want to do, but you know is wrong. That is the flesh inside of you. The spirit, on the other hand, and this is where we veer off from some of the other religions, is, of course, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He is fighting against that flesh. He is, in fact, giving you a new spirit. And sometimes we have to work a little bit when we're reading the Bible to figure out, is this talking about our new spirit, our new man, or is this talking about the Holy Spirit? And that can be a little bit difficult to figure out sometimes. But those two people are on the same side. The new spirit, the new person, the new Adam that God is creating you to be is working with the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. In fact, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. You can hear then in our text for today from our epistle reading that Paul tells us basically what the other spiritualities say, with one exception. In our reading, salvation has already happened. You have already been saved. Your salvation does not depend on how well you do in this fight. In fact, in some ways, the way that the Bible talks, the fight doesn't even start until you've been saved. Because until you've been saved, you really can't do anything good. You certainly can't strive and fight against the evil that's inside of you, mostly because you might not even know how deep that evil really is. Another thing that Paul gives us in our text for today about this fight, though, is that we get the explanation for why the fight exists. Paul literally tells us, "This is happening so that you won't do the things you want to do." I'm not sure I can think of a message that goes more against what the world is trying to tell us right now than that you shouldn't do the things you want to do. Because the things that we want to do are coming from our flesh, are coming from our old Adam. It's coming from that sinfulness inside of us. We shouldn't just assume that, oh, I want to do this, therefore it must be good. In fact, and this is part of what Paul's getting at here, it's usually a good assumption that if you want to do it, it might not be a good thing to do. And that's part of the sneakiness of this fight. It's part of the reason that this fight is hard, because the feelings that you have, the wants that you have, the desires that you have, can be used by the evil inside of you just as much as it can be used by the spirit inside of you. This is, of course, just one example of how other religions do occasionally have an echo of the truth, but not the full truth, not the revealed truth. And hopefully this doesn't surprise you all that much. After all, everybody on the planet at this moment is related to Noah. And everybody on the planet at this moment is related to Adam and Eve, which means that there was a point in time where everyone knew God. Everyone had an idea of what God wanted and what he didn't want for us. So we shouldn't be all that surprised that occasionally you'll run across some kind of actual truth or an echo of wisdom in even the false religions. But don't take that to mean that we should abandon the revealed truth for the echoes. Hopefully you would all recognize that. To get back in for our text today, Paul begins by telling us of this battle that's going on. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other. And it is a fair question to ask of why. Why is this fight happening? Why couldn't God make life easy? And perhaps we don't have a satisfying answer to that question, but we do get an answer to that question. Paul tells us that it is to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Again, this is one of, if not the reason, that most people reject and abandon their faith. Because somebody tells them that they can't do what they want to do. Because we are explicitly denied the things that we want to do. And the reason for that is really quite simple. Because the works of the flesh are the things that we want to do naturally. You heard that long list of things that Paul laid out for us. And the reality of those things is that they're fun. The reality of those things is that they're easy. The reality of those things is that they come naturally to us. But the revealed truth about those things is that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And maybe that takes a little bit of explanation there. Recognize that when it says those who do such things, the idea here is those who repeatedly do these. It's not just a one and done kind of thing. This is not Paul saying that, oh, if you have done any one of these things, you are not possibly able to be saved. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that those who have these things as the core parts of their identity are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That is not the fruit of faith in the Spirit. Those things are the works of the flesh, the results of what happens when your flesh is the core of your being. But Paul also gives us another list here. And this is a list of things that, while they don't come naturally to us in our flesh, they do come naturally from God. And so we call them the fruits of the Spirit. These things are not always fun. Even joy, it can be unfun to be joyful sometimes. Which is maybe a weird thing to think about, but it's true. How often have you found yourself being joyful about something that everybody around you is not being joyful about? And that's a hard thing sometimes. And that's another thing with these fruits, of course, is that they are often hard. It's hard to control yourself sometimes. It's hard to be patient, to be kind, and to be good. In fact, these things will probably feel unnatural because they will frequently go against our feelings. Like Paul said, this is a fight, and it's a real fight. It's a real struggle. But recognize how Paul ends this. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. What does Paul draw our attention to in this fight? He doesn't draw it to how well we're doing in the fight. He doesn't give us some kind of benchmarks of, oh, if you manage to do each of these things every single day, then that means that you're doing a good job. That's not what he says. Where does he point us to? But to the cross. Recognize the truth that this battle that he's talking about is happening in your life probably right now. This is a hard thing to hear because it hits home for us, because we've all experienced this fight. But perhaps most importantly of all, because we've all failed in this fight. Because we have all neglected the fruit of the Spirit at one time or another, and instead given in to our flesh, given in to the wickedness that's inside of us. That's what makes this hard to hear. It's hard to hear the law. It's hard to hear the truth that we are sinners who have failed in what we are supposed to do. And this can sometimes make us fear that we've messed up our inheritance, that we've somehow managed to deny all of the things that God has done, to negate what Christ has done on the cross by our sin. But don't forget the wonderful truth that we have found here. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. What does this mean? To ask a good Lutheran question. This means that the entire point of the crucifixion, that the entire point of the Spirit being inside of you, is to make you believe the truth that your sin is forgiven, that the flesh inside of you is slowly dying, and that the Spirit inside of you is getting stronger and stronger and strengthening the new man inside of you. And the reason that he has to reveal that truth to you is because we don't know it otherwise. We can't see it otherwise. But this does help us in some ways. It does help us to know the things that we are supposed to do. However, we can recognize the truth that God has promised to judge us by our faith. You are forgiven for those times that you indulged the flesh. You are forgiven for those times when you let the wickedness out. You are forgiven even for those times when you felt the bad things. You are forgiven. And your sin cannot negate what Christ has done on the cross. In fact, the entire point of Christ dying on the cross is to save you from the punishment of the law. That's what it means that you are no longer under the law. It means that the law cannot punish you eternally for what you have done because Jesus already suffered that. Which means that now, as we live our lives, as we try to fight this fight, we still get to strive to do better. We get to try and do something hard. We don't do it because it's about our salvation, though. We do it because we know it's actually good. Because we know we actually should care for our neighbor. That we should protect them, even from ourselves. And we know that God has come to save us from those bad parts of us. And so has he come to save others. And we are free to strive to share that word, just as much as we are free to fight against the sin inside of us. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.